Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Can you believe this?
Amazing.
Yeah, I was just looking at pictures, by the way, of my wife, Donna.
Were you?
You saw it.
Yes, you were Googling it. Yes,
I was not Googling my wife. It's her birthday tomorrow.
Yes.
And I'm excited about spending some time together tomorrow, kind of looking back over some things. But
so what kind of special big
we've been married
present you got there is
a long time. 25 years.
Wow.
25 years. That's amazing, isn't it? I think I look the same. I'm not sure.
I've seen pictures, but we can also make those pictures available if we need to.
Helmet pictures? Do you remember the helmet?
No, your pictures.
Oh,
your pictures.
Okay.
Your pictures.
I'm cool with it. I look better, younger. Okay. So this guy's Ray Kurzweil. This guy specifically they're saying Ray Kurzweil. This is Wired magazine, I believe it was, but I'm not sure it's Wired. Are you tapping? Is there some reason why you're tapping? He says, Ray Kurzweil says computers will overtake us when they learn to love. I mean, think about that.
Wow.
When they learn to love. Computers are not going to learn to love. And then this futurist, Ray Kurzweil, they said, says that nanorobots, little mini robots, will be injected into us to connect to our neocortex. And I looked that up.
Okay.
That's front of our brain. By the way, that he says it's the size of a napkin.
Our brain is the size of a napkin?
No. The part that we used it to connect and emotionally, the real important part.
Wow.
The real thoughtful part. You know, a napkin.
A napkin.
Thank you. Lord. I appreciate that, Ray Kurzweil. So then, your brain, he's saying, can be connected to the cloud, like your phone is connected to the cloud. Just a little disclaimer, don't do that. But let's just take a look at it because we're moving into that time where man and machine, and make sure you also catch the next program this week, a little bit later this week, we'll be talking about how that they are beginning to have hybrid humans where they're mixing machinery, they're mixing animals, they're mixing, and the government is funding this. This is not no
wow,
you know, conspiracy theory. Yeah, this is actually budgeted in the budget. We'll be talking about that. But you can see how this kind of technology mm-hmm. that you saw in the Verizon commercial. Now you're looking at Ray Kurzweil. If his accuracy was not what it was, nobody would pay attention. They'd think he's just some kook and some theorist and has some goals. But he's like 80, 70, 80, 90% accuracy in his how exponential technology grows as we begin to develop as a people, as a culture. And I think about the mountain, Lance Waldo. Lou Waldow. Lance Waldo. I mean, this guy is positive. I mean, he's always, you know, he's a believer. He's real positive. But he even says the way men are designed, because of he's greedy, he will just continue on with this. He will not stop once this technology. And this is somebody who always has a positive outlook. But and it's still positive. I mean, the kingdom's going to grow. This man can never duplicate what God's going to do. But take a look at this. This is Ray Kurzweil talking about injecting in our blood system that goes right to the front part of our brain where we make all the napkin, we make all those decisions, and your brain would connect to the cloud just exactly like our telephones connect to the cloud. And you understand, I said, this is nothing outside that cloud it connects to. And that's what he's saying is all of a sudden now our brains won't have to know everything. But we'll have access to anything we know at any time. Sounds like the tree of the knowledge of good
sure does.
And evil. It seems like men are trying to create the tower, the ultimate tower or temple, which is human, human being. They can't do it, but here, take a look.
We will connect wirelessly our neocortex to the cloud.
This is with nanobots that enter your neocortex.
Right.
This is your prediction. For when is that? Just so I know.
June 2033.
Yeah. June 12th, 8:35 in the morning.
So we have 300 million modules in our neocortex, each of which can recognize a pattern. They're organized in this hierarchy. We create that hierarchy with our own thinking. But it's 300 million. So is that a big number or a little? Well, it was big enough for us to invent language and physics. It's also limited when you realize how long it takes to read a book or learn a language. We will be able to expand that And that expansion will not be a one-shot deal. It'll be connected to the cloud. The cloud is pure information technology. One of my themes is that information technology grows exponentially. It roughly doubles in power every year. That's what the cloud is doing. The cloud is twice as powerful every year. And when we can connect and expand our neocortex in the cloud, it will expand without limit. And so we'll be funnier, and we'll be sexier, and it'll be harder for you to win this prize again.
So, just to clarify what I think you just said, that in 20 years, plus or minus, so the mid-2030s, we will have nanobots that we can feed into our brain that directly connect to the cloud rather than through anything we carry in our pocket. And in that way, wirelessly, we can basically download entire books, entire languages, and we will then know these things just by the act of downloading them.
Well, that's one implication.
Into our brains.
But we'll have more neocortex. So we won't be limited to a mere 300 million pattern modules. We'll have billions or 10 billion.
What, biologically or just simply because we have these nanobots?
We'll have this extension that's non-biological.
Non-biological, right. So
I mean, this would be pretty useless if it didn't have an extension. I mean, when you access all of Google.
Yes, it would just be a gaming device otherwise,
so,
right.
You can access all of knowledge and.
No, I got that. So isn't this like the scene in The Matrix where they sit in the chair and they upload. One of my favorite lines of the film is Keanu Reeves. You know, they teach him martial arts, and he says, "I know kung fu." And you mean I'm gonna know? You know, or jujitsu, whatever. So in 20 seconds, he's now an expert. Are you telling me that's what's gonna happen?
The non-biological portion of our thinking will be able to download skills, right?
Wow.
And it does that now. I mean, you load some software in your computer. It didn't. For example, speech recognition, which I worked on, we had to spend months teaching a computer how to understand human speech. But now you want to do that on your notebook computer, you just download the software. It can download skills that another computer learned. So that's a feature of non-biological intelligence.
That is amazing when you think about it. So let's look one more time at this simple commercial that was just a little bit back. Now you're seeing it come to pass. Mm. And that's Kurzweil right now. Take a look at this commercial one more time.
Droid.
Droid DNA augmentation initiated. Neural speeds increasing to 4G LTE. Brain upgrading to a quad-core processor. Predictive intelligence with Google Now complete.
Introducing Droid DNA by HTC. It's not an upgrade to your phone. It's an upgrade to yourself.
DNA.
The commercial said predictive intelligence by Google Now. It's interesting to note that Ray Kurzweil is the head engineer
of Google. Yeah,
of Google.
Yes. And the former CEO of Google has now left Google and has gone to the government.
Eric
and he's
Schmidt.
Working with the Pentagon. Yeah, Eric Schmidt. And he's going to Googleize our military, the Pentagon.
Interesting.
Very interesting. The future is now. So, first of all, I want to say this. God, how do you think we know anything? I mean, God is the one that downloads information to us. Mm. What we're doing right now, what you see in VFN TV, it didn't take Google to download it. God downloaded it into my spirit, and he showed me VFN, VFN TV, Apostolic Cubs. He showed me what he wanted to do. I mean, I didn't need that. He did it in one encounter, or two encounters, or three encounters with him. I think about another man. I read about it in Jim Rutz's book, talking about the megashift. And one particular man went to as a missionary to Germany, and he was waiting for his interpreter to show up. His interpreter didn't show up, and he had all these people to minister to. And what God did in one encounter with God, God immediately downloaded the ability to speak not only German, but the dialect of the people that he was speaking to. There's another, I mean, this megashift's a great book to be able to see the power of God. Men are just trying to imitate God. This one particular man, he wanted to read in China, he wanted to read the word of God, and he couldn't read. And so he just asked God, God, I want to be able to read. And Chinese at that. So it'll be Chinese. And then that's like a double miracle. And then, Mandarin, I guess. Yeah. And so all of a sudden, God just touched him and he could read. God's been doing this since the time he created Adam in the garden and created the earth and everything that men are just taking things God created and doing things with it. But the one thing that stands out, I think, amongst the craziness of this reality, this is not fiction, this is real, is, and we'll be having a program really soon about, probably this week, about how they can inject things now into your blood system right now, and it goes right at into your blood. It goes right to your DNA, John. I mean, right to your DNA. And it cuts off parts of the strand of your DNA and replaces it with something else. Wow. Designer humans. Crazy. Hybrid humans. I mean, you're looking exactly, says it'll be the days of Noah, right? It'll be just like the days of Noah, Jesus said. And what was happening? We had Nephilim. We had Nephilim, that angels of man saw the daughters of God, and they began to mix the DNA. And all of a sudden, the answer for God was that you have to destroy everything on the earth to be able to, because when he says that Noah was perfect, a lot of times we interpreted that as going like, he was a good man. He was perfect in his DNA and his bloodline.
Mm.
There was no hybrid angel man type thing going on, but he's going to be just like the days of Noah. So we have to really stay on top of that. But one thing that stands out with this, it says that Ray Kurzweil said in this particular article, in this interview, was that once the, it'll overtake humans once it learns to love. And then he says he injected. Well, you know, it's more of the fact of intelligence, but it's about being humorous, funny, and loving sentiments, which means it's not really love. A computer can't love. An animal can't love. It seems like an animal loves you, but if somebody else feeds that animal, when we were the sheriff's department, we had canine dogs that we would work with. When they would change handlers, what they would do is, and this dog was loyal to that handler, but they would put the dog in a room by itself and feed it with nobody seeing the dog. And then all of a sudden the new handler would start feeding the dog food. And you know what? That dog would switch his loyalty. Mm. I could not believe those dogs would do that. That's an animal nature. And it's humans. We're creating the image and the likeness of God. God is love. God loves. I mean, when he loves, he is being himself. So we're creating his image and his likeness. Therefore, we can love if we choose to. That's the awesome thing that's about amazing. Us. So when you choose to love, you're coming as close to you possibly can be in imitating the one who created you.
Mm-hmm.
No computer can do that. Now, these different needs being met, we actually had a whole program dedicated to that. You got to see this program. We'll make it related to you. But it was about this movie, Her, H-E-R. And the man fell in love with the computer because it was doing things for him. And it was kind of had these funny things going on.
Like talking with him, relating with him.
Telling jokes and,
being
sentimental and, you know, remember this, remember that. But then it sucked him dry and left him dry. Computers are not human. Human beings, we're flawed individuals. We make mistakes. It's loving people where they are on the way to where God's taking them. We're not trying to find some perfect thing. God is perfect and God is perfecting us in that. But these are major things. We're going to talk more about this when we get back from this break, but understand these are some major things that are happening in our time and in our age. But the way we bring things to pass, we bring things to pass by believing what God says. We have the ability, you know, God is a creator, right? He created us in his image and his likeness. So we can do what? We can create. We can speak things into existence. We can have a vision that lines up with God's word and begin to speak it. Next thing you know, you have a business, you have a family, you have, you know, that's what we can do. I was just in the cloud.
Get out of the cloud.
I mean, you think about this. This man fell in love with his computer, and his computer left him after sucking him dry.
Yeah.
Some man says, hey, that sounds like a marriage.
Computer abandoned me. You know, we talk about the cloud. Yeah. The cloud is basically all a giant internet, computer. My best attempt, big computer that actually stores all of your information, but everybody's information, your banking, everything's on the cloud because you can't download everything to your
And it's really not device. A cloud, but it's a computer somewhere in, the Secretary of State, hers was actually in a gas station under sink.
Lord.
No, it's, but, you know, I think about this, you just did a little commercial here, that iPhone, Apple is making this big deal right now about protecting their
data
which is great.
Yeah.
But from what you told me, the cloud's not protected. Is that true?
That's right.
Tell me about that. So the cloud, so all the information really is in the cloud anyway.
Right. Your phone is protected, but not the actual cloud. If you have an Apple product, which is a phone or a tablet.
Which is nothing without a cloud.
Right. Because of backup storage. The thing today is that because they made these devices where you can take so many pictures and you can, you know, what takes all this, the storage on your phone and your computer really is videos and pictures. And so you can't store it all on your phone. So they have
I have notes on mine.
Well, yeah, okay.
I have emails and stuff.
So they created this cloud where you can store all your data up there, but that's not protected. Mm. Your personal device is protected. So right. Really, by default, you're not really protected because all your other data is up in a cloud somewhere.
Everything that's been whispered in the darkness is going to be shouted from the rooftop.
Right.
So just, you know,
that's right.
Everybody needs Jesus. Nobody knows that better probably than Google.
No, that's right.
So here he is talking about, as we were talking about before the break, Ray Kurzweil, saying computers will possess emotions and personality. Mm. What it is, it will imitate what seems like to us is emotions and personality. Although I do know some people that are pretty robotic. They might worry. I'm not going to bring them up. Anyway, he says, you know, the computer is going to be funny and expressing loving sentiment. And that's what that program, what's the name of that program?
The movie's Her.
The
program, it's entitled Man Falls in Love with Computer, yeah. And the computer abandoned him after it sucks him dry. We'll get that related for you on the tour.
Because you remember. It's so important because computers know what they know because we gave it to them.
Right.
They learn because all this data was put in
there.
We had this program, maybe that was the program, talking about Watson learning about Watson, the computer with IBM. Well, they learned by taking all the data from Wikipedia and it processed that information. Well, think about all the data that's being gathered in social media and online right now. People are posting anything and everything. I'm eating coffee now. This is funny. This is my family. This is my friends. Mm-hmm. I'm sad about this. This is my political persuasion. This is my religious persuasion, all these different things. And that's why Mark Zuckerberg talks about that Facebook, he's the founder of Facebook. He's late 20s, maybe something. Early 30s, that in the next probably 4 years now that by 2020, Facebook will be smarter than a human being.
Yeah.
And based on Ray Kurzweil, it's all going to be happening much quicker. Ray just wants to put it in your head.
Yeah. Well, think about this. This is why you have a national event, and with Twitter alone, things trend. There's a trending topic. And so anyone can know what's on the hearts and minds of those in any particular
country. Because they post it.
Because they're posting it. So they're collecting all of this data, and you can see these are the five topics that are trending, so they can literally steer a whole people just by knowing what's on their heart, what's on their mind, and what's the conversation of the day.
It's called Nudge.
Yeah.
The book's called Nudge. Yeah. The first lady actually promoted it, but also the one who wrote it, I can't forget his name right now, but he is
Cass
Sunstein has been writing policies for our government based on reports that is nudging us in all these different directions. And they've been basically using psychology everything that man has learned, this administration has put it full, all the way down from DNA modification, stem cell research, to hybrid humans, to mixing machinery, animal, and soldier to make a hybrid soldier.
But this technology has been able for them to be able to test their theories like never before. It's almost instant. We're going to try this. We're going to nudge here, and let's just wait and see what they post.
And all we have to do is react. If we would actually react in a right way, then these things would stop. But if people just keep embracing, and it's really tempting. I mean, think about it. Of all the things that was put into the Garden of Eden by God, was everything that Adam and Eve would ever need.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they could have. They were in total control, total authority under God. He said, I'll rule up here in heaven. You rule down on earth. You take dominion over what's on the earth. The garden's yours. You can eat from anything you want from any tree. I was all vegetarian at that point. It was no animals. But he named all the animals. But he said, it's just one thing. But think about this. From the beginning of creation, he said, there's just one thing, Adam, Eve, there's just one thing you cannot eat from. Mm. You cannot do this. You cannot eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do that, you'll die.
Mm.
And so here they were going along, you know, like maybe you are today. And all of a sudden, you know, Ray Kurzweil will have a commercial going on saying, are you tired of not having the knowledge that you need?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like a tree of knowledge of good and evil growing in your brain that you can eat at any time? Well, today, go to google.com/your brain. I mean, that's where we are now. And are we going to say, because this quest, because society and the way things are working, it makes you feel like you need to know something. And a whole bunch of people know a whole bunch of things, but they're not doing anything
with
it.
Well, the search, too, is supposed to be an interactive relationship with God where we can actually commune with God and ask God questions and pray about things. The First Corinthians says that the Spirit of God searches all things. He knows the mind of God. But today we say, well, I don't want to search and ask God questions. I'll just ask Google.
Yes, yeah, so ask God. People turn to Google now instead of turning to God. How do you cure that? But you think about this. You look to your son. He's maybe 8 years old. He says, son, you know, you say to your son, hey, you want to go to the store? You're talking about the store that's close to the house. It's like, yeah, son. Well, based on the statistical study, it says that most people die in traffic accidents within 1 mile of their house. Besides, we need to cut back by 20% on our fat content. And last time you went, all this data comes out.
Yeah.
What's the father going to say? You stay here with your mama, boy. I'm going to give me a hot dog.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is that information he thought in this that scenario was important, but what the father was wanting was a relationship. God knows everything at the same time. He's everywhere at the same time. He wants a relationship with you. He doesn't, he's not impressed by what you know. Men are impressed by what you know. But to impress God is to say, I want to have a relationship with you, even if most people die within 1 mile of their house, even if we're gonna have 20% more fat today than we had before. You know, we don't have to know all that. We just have to know that we can trust God with our lives. And what happens is the more information people get, the more they depend on that for their safety instead of depending on God.
And the more fearful they become, too. They stir up all this fear instead of your faith.
You're strapping phones to your kids because you're scared that somebody's going to take them away. And there was a day that they would send us out. And the beginning of the day when the sun was coming up, it says, well, I'll see you when the sun comes down. And we were gone all day long. It was amazing.
And you made it.
It was, you know, there was twice I didn't think I was going to make it. But yeah, I learned. And, but also, you know, riding in the back of trucks, we thought riding in the back of trucks was like, this is like wonderful. We're looking at the sky, we're waving at people in cars. And now you got people strapped down with 50 belts and people are pulling you over, writing $300-something tickets. And it's like life has become so controlled.
Yeah.
And it's like, what point do we trust God? And the more information a man gets, he says, knowledge puffs up. The more information a man gets, the more prideful we have a tendency to be with self-reliant, rely on the knowledge that we know. But it's amazing how much you trusted God before you got so smart.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why God can use us.
Just keeping it real.
Just keeping it real. You know what I'm saying? But that's how we can have confidence to do what we're doing, because we're connected to the cloud. But it's the cloud of God.
Yeah.
And he is downloading in our abiding times with us. And if you know how to actually get a true download, go to iabide.org. Mm. We have a simple plan for you, how you can connect up with the true source of all information and all wisdom. And you get it for free. Just go to iabide.org and request it. It'll be sent to you right away in your email. But these are times that test men's souls. It takes great wisdom. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.